Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, on demand via the Bloomberg Business app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
At Davos at the moment, we'll be dealing and delving into what's going on there and reaction possibly from there on what's going on with the coronavirus in China.
Yeah, and to kick off on that, we have our guest in the studio for the rest of the hour, Vitol Berker, senior macro strategist at Nordea, with us in the London studio. Vitol, great to have you with us. Welcome to the show this morning. So let's kick off on coronavirus, because we're seeing risk assets rebound a little bit today, just general stabilization across assets. But work is being done at Bloomberg Economics, at UBS, at Nomura, on the potential risk to Chinese growth if this virus continues spreading. Are you factoring that into your strategy at all at the moment? I mean, Bloomberg Economics, for example, points out that at the peak of the SARS virus, it took 2 percentage points of Chinese growth. Hong Kong's economy was hard hit. Could this be something that impacts global growth if it continues to escalate?
At the margin, yes. But of course, it's very early stage. So it's impossible to say something definite around where this ranks relative to SARS. But at the margin, we expect some negative effect on Chinese growth and therefore also on overall global growth, of course. But we nevertheless still think the main story when it comes to China is what's going on in the credit sphere there with the credit impulse and so on.
And interestingly, Vitor, I mean, a lot of people have suggested it's in the EM area that we'll see the knock-on effects of this. That's really where the concern is. And all the vulnerabilities are probably too.
Yeah, sure. And for a long time, we had high hopes that, in particular, Chinese consumption could take over from this investment-driven growth model. And in that context, of course, if this affects the consumption outlook materially, that is something we need to take into account when it comes to the 6 to 12-month outlook. But given the uncertainties that we still face here, it would probably be too early to make big reallocations based on that. Our base case is still for some growth stabilization in China, but no acceleration given the ongoing de-risking campaign. That's the main story. Of course, this needs to be watched as well.
Yeah, and you say that risk assets have priced too much growth upside. Not only that, but the Fed might be scaling down liquidity support a bit in the coming months. That's not a pretty cocktail for risk assets then.
No, I mean, given how far we have run this rally here, that creates some vulnerability, clearly. I mean, the fact that the market, in our view at least, has priced too much growth in the vicinity of 3.5% to 4% global growth is not a problem as long as these liquidity spigots remain wide open. But as you said rightly, we expect the Fed to scale down a bit because their thinking might be, you know, mission accomplished. We're past these year-end liquidity jitters for now.
And what's your take on earnings? We're in the earnings season. We've seen some very interesting earnings, of course, coming out last week from some of the really big U.S. financial players. UBS results rather less impressive. What's your view of the earnings season so far?
Now, being a part of the emerging market debt team, we focus on fixed income. Of course, we also need to have an eye on the earnings picture. Markets are expecting, in terms of both European and U.S. earnings growth, something just below double-digit growth. We think there'll be a rebound, but 9%, as is expected now for 2020, is probably a bit too much. The main story when it comes to margins, to the earnings season, is what development we see in terms of margins, because that's where we have also from a fixed income perspective have to be alert. This is the kind of late cycle dynamics, falling margins that we need to keep a close eye on. And we're already seeing some signs of a negative trend there emerging in the US. And the question is, of course, from a European perspective, whether that will be confirmed in Europe as well.
If you think that we are late cycle right now, Vitol, do you think the best opportunities, if you do want to have risk in the portfolio, are in emerging markets, despite the fact that you do think the dollar is going to strengthen moderately?
Yeah, I mean, we don't expect too much dollar strength. Mm-hmm. So from an emerging market fixed income perspective, we still see a carry-friendly environment going forward, despite what I just said, despite the fact that the Fed will scale down the liquidity impulse here. Nevertheless, the overall monetary conditions are still very loose. That should support some kind of carry hunting in the emerging market sphere. But as you said, we're also expecting moderate dollar strength, which probably should favor hard currency debt in the emerging market space. As we also discussed, we're a bit skeptical on the growth outlook, which probably means that emerging markets equities will enjoy less of a tailwind in this kind of environment, but still relatively carry friendly.
And what about central banks? I mean, we've got the ECB this week. We've got the issues coming up. What are you expecting in terms of, we've heard from people, particularly at Davos, about the lack of capacity, really, for central banks to influence much anyway. But what are you expecting going forward?
Yeah, that's very much in line with our thinking here, a limited effectiveness of central banks going forward. Over the next 6 months, from an ECB perspective, the key is, of course, the policy review and whether the hawkish camp or the dovish camp dominates that kind of perspective. The dovish camp wanting to move into direction of price level targeting, the hawkish camp saying, okay, now we didn't achieve this inflation goal, so let's abandon it and rethink it all. And let's be honest to ourselves what we really can achieve and cannot achieve here. On balance, when it comes to the ECB, we think that we'll see a less dovish ECB. We don't think much will happen on the rates front, but we think the distribution of rate outcomes, especially in the short term, will move to the right in Europe. Hence, we also think from a cross-Atlantic perspective that the cross-Atlantic rate difference, the gap between the US and Europe will narrow further.
Actually. Yeah. And on the ECB accounts this week, if we do get a less dovish tone, which is what you expect, I mean, Bank of America say an unexpectedly hawkish undertone could trip up markets. You've got Citigroup seeing German yields climbing further towards zero. SocGen also out there saying there's scope for 10-year bund yields to climb to 0%. We're at negative 24 now. Is that within your sight line, 10-year bunds at 0% and staying there on a more hawkish undertone or a less dovish one from the ECB?
We would expect more reaction on the short end of the curve. So we'd actually expect the European curve, particularly the German curve, of course, here to flatten further, the long end keeping staying at very low levels, and short term can will potentially move up a bit. So no, it's not, you know, a general sell-off of European rates. It's more a tilt in the curve here, we would expect.
Vital, finally, on the issue that's dominating Davos at the moment, climate change, the ways in which the economy responds to this, ESGs, very difficult area, not least proving whether they are, in fact, environmentally friendly, as they claim to be. How important are ESGs, really?
We think it's front and centre. We at Nordea Asset Management see it as part of our DNA. We have a well-established ESG process in the equity space. We had it for a while. And now in the emerging markets debt team, we're also implementing an ESG approach. We think there's increasing demand from investors. Clearly, there's a lot of work needs to be done in terms of, you know, common standards. Greenwashing is something that has been debated, but it is a trend there, and we think we are on the forefront of that trend.
Vital Barker, great to have you with us in the studio. Senior macro strategist at Nordea.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 1 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Washington, D.C. on Bloomberg 99.1 FM and 105.7 FM HD2, in Boston on 106.1 FM, 1330 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. In San Francisco on 960 AM and 103.7 FM HD2 and on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2018 Bloomberg LP.